now on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Former University of Georgia head football coach and College Football Hall of Fame inductee Jim Donnan joins Press Row. This segment of Press Row is presented by Kia of Chattanooga. Test drive your dream vehicle today at 2136 Chapman Road. Kia of Chattanooga.
Well, as we bring in the College Football Hall of Famer, did you have a Merry Christmas?
Sure did. Been missing talking to you guys. Looking forward to today, the last show, but we got a lot to get in, so let's get rolling.
Let's get rolling. Yeah, glad y'all have stayed away from the COVID, because Wells and I have both had it, and it is not a good time.
We haven't stayed away from it. Both my wife and I had it. So
oh, really? Okay.
We're
in the whole deal here, so she had it a little bit rougher than me, but fortunately, we're okay.
Good. I have it. I don't know if the taste and smell thing has affected y'all, but I'm on like day 12 where I hadn't been able to taste or smell anything, and I knew that was part of this thing, but it's just bizarre going through that.
Yeah, it's a tough deal. Everybody needs to be careful.
All right. Did you get a chance? Because a lot of these bowl games kicked off, and they just felt like mismatches from the start. But did you get a chance to watch Liberty and Coastal Carolina? Because that was beyond entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good game. Both teams got excellent quarterbacks, and it went back and forth. I couldn't figure out what Liberty was doing there on the goal line at the end of the game, but they fortunately able to win the game. But, you know, Liberty's done a good job. I mean, it's pretty obvious that that Willis kid's got some ability, and it shows you that if you got a quarterback that can move around in the pocket and to make first downs, it gives you a chance against anybody. And, you know, any way you look at it, they beat several ACC teams and had a big year. And, of course, Coastal, that win over Brigham Young looks even bigger after the way you saw Brigham Young demolish UCF.
The way that game ended, though, you touched on it in regulation. I mean, if you're trying to just run out the clock and set up for a field goal that's essentially an extra point – when you saw that play call and you saw that thing transpire, I mean, it's like you just mentioned, I mean, Malik Willis was fantastic at quarterback. Why not just have him take a couple of steps and then take a knee? I mean, that just, it just boggles the mind that things like that still happen.
Yeah, I don't know what their philosophy was. It looked like on first down, that's what it was, you know, just move it over to the middle of the field, and then second down, they were just going to try to get a little bit. And after the game was over, Free said that their point was to get it to third down and let the clock get down to, you know, and then have one less play and then either score or kick the field goal. And, you know, I had it happen to me, you know, at against Georgia Tech. We ran one more play instead of kicking the field goal because the week before we had missed a field goal from the 10-yard line and we tried to get it in there. And but, you know, it's a lot of different philosophies there. You've seen it in the pros and everything else. But in that case, I don't think you can be kind of halfway. You either got to fall on it or you got to score. You can't hope that they wait for you to go down or something. I mean, I don't know what that – I think they call it the Jerry Falwell play, the one that you pray for and hope it works.
Let's talk about a couple of – before we get into some bowl games, let's talk about a couple of coaching situations that have happened in the SEC since we've last chatted. Of course, South Carolina named Shane Beamer, but I think what's interesting, and we've talked about it on the show, you don't see a coach come into the SEC a lot of times and retain four members of a coaching staff, but, I mean, that's what Beamer has done, including Mike Bobo, of course, who you obviously played for you, and you've just got some familiar names when you think about Tracy Rocker, who's coached at Georgia, Tennessee, Auburn, now South Carolina. What have you thought about Beamer and his staff? I mean, it looks like it's one that's very familiar to SEC play.
Well, you know, he knows a lot of people, having coached at several places, and he's got to go with who he feels good. I know his wife's good friends with Tracy Rocker's wife, so that probably helped Tracy a little bit. But, you know, and Tracy is a really good on-the-field coach and has got a lot of good ties and only been there a year. But two of the guys, two or three of them had only been there a year under Muschamp, so it's hard to get a staff, you know, I mean, a representative staff when you're coming in as a new coach. So sometimes that's a good way to do it. But let me just tell you, they got a long way to go personnel-wise, and they're losing a lot of guys to the transfer portal. I saw where Alinsky the quarterback is leaving. Doty's going to stay, but their personnel right now is that was fortunate for them. They didn't play a bowl game because they would have been outmatched. So, but Shane will go in there and try to recruit. He's not really known for his recruiting. He never signed anybody at Georgia. So, but I know he's a good coach, and he's got a good background. But we'll see how it works. But you know, you're going into Clemson, going against Clemson and Georgia, two of your biggest rivals, and both of them are in the top five or six in the country. And you know, they're as far as SEC East, I would say the only team they're ahead of right now is probably Vanderbilt.
Then, of course, the other big one, Brian Harsin. I don't think he was on anybody's list when Gus Malzahn was immediately let go. But Harsin, who goes 69-19 at Boise State, is named as Malzahn's successor. And you just mentioned Beamer's challenge of competing with Clemson and Georgia. I mean, Harsin, who I guess spent 2 years at Texas as the offensive coordinator and one at Arkansas State, those are the only 3 years he's been in the SEC footprint, and that's on the far west side of it. And now he's got to come in and try to out-recruit Saban and Kirby.
Yeah, I think the one thing about Brian that I know a little bit about, when Mac Brown was going to look to move in and bring in a new coordinator, he had me vet a couple guys for him behind the scene, and I checked out and Harsin, and he was one of the two or three guys I recommended to him. And he's certainly an excellent offensive coach, and he's had a good run as a head coach at Boise and at Arkansas State. I think, as you mentioned, though, there's just a different mindset recruiting in the SEC, whether, you can join it. I think he's going to have to get some coaches that have the background of recruiting here to help him out. But it's not like they're void of talent, though. They got some players. But if you had to rate that job right now based on the league, certainly a second in the state, probably third or fourth in the West, and fifth overall. So he's got a long way to go. But maybe they'll get back to the Pat Dye days and really bring some players in there. You know what I mean? Ha, ha, ha.
Well, and it's funny because Gus Malzahn – you know, I know he had his fans and his share of detractors. I mean, it was one of those where Auburn is not – it's been a long time since Auburn finished ahead of Alabama or Georgia in the recruiting rankings. I mean, we're talking like a decade and then some. But Gus Malzahn kind of gave you that scheme that when things clicked, he could pull the upset. Of course, when they couldn't, they'd lose by three or four touchdowns. And I know that's what started eating at a lot of the Auburn brass, is just how lopsided the losses were when they would play Alabama and Georgia when things weren't going well. But along those lines, how does Harsin come in and try to, you know, outdo what Georgia and Alabama are doing? Just because when you look at the facilities and when you look at those being the flagship programs in the state, that certainly puts Auburn behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're supposed to be building a new facilities building. But, you know, the one thing that Gus has on his resume, he beat Alabama three times. And that's something that a lot of people can't say that ever coached against. He just said he didn't do much against Georgia. I mean, they had a tough time, particularly over here. I mean, never won a game the whole time he was coaching there. And that game's always, over the years, the home team sometimes doesn't win. But Gus you know, there gets to be a point when you're making $7 million a year and you're losing four games a year, you got to look at it. Is it worth the investment? And they decided that they weren't going to go that way. It looked for a little while like they might hire Steele, you know, because he knows the network of high school coaches and how to use the alumni and all that. But I think there were just too many forces against that, looking, you know, firing a guy $21 million and keeping a guy on the staff. But I think they could have done a lot worse than Harsin. I think he's going to be a big plus with his offensive coaching ability. But, again, getting the players and going against Kirby and Ogeron for sure, and then, of course, Nick in the state. I mean, you look at it, the recruiting that Nick did this year, they signed six of the top eight players in Texas this year. I'm talking about Texas, with University of Texas and Texas A&M. And they got four of the top 10 in Florida, not to mention around the country, Michigan, everywhere else. So, I mean, that's a Superman class that they got coming in on top of a team that had not one, not two, not three, but four first-team All-Americans on offense, and had Jaylen Waddle missing for the whole most of the year. So they've got the talent over there, and I don't see them slowing down much.
How about that 2017 Bama class? While we digress, I mean, you've got Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, and Alex Leatherwood are first-team All-Americans from that 17 class, and that's just several months after Tua, Jedrick Wills, Jerry Jeudy, and Henry Ruggs, four first-round NFL picks from that same class. That 2017 class that Alabama signed is unbelievable.
Yeah, you got that right. You have to say it's a really good investment. I mean, they did a good job of betting these guys and getting them there and keeping them there. I mean, you know, Najee Harris not going pro this year. Devontae Smith not going. I mean, they stay there. I mean, more guys stay at Alabama than any place for that next year, that last year. And the year that Smith had, just incredulous. He took advantage of Waddle being out. But it really has caught more passes than a lot of teams' whole group have caught. I mean, he's close to 100. So, and he'll catch probably about 150 on Friday afternoon against Notre Dame.
And of course, they had to hoof it and win the Iron Bowl this year just to go 2-2 against Gus.
Yeah, that's true. But they, after the warm-ups or when?
All right, let's talk about this because we just got through talking about Gus and you had some good insight on Brian Harsin. Up the road in Knoxville, doesn't look like they are making any kind of move. I mean, you know, Tennessee goes 3-7. They accept the Liberty Bowl bid. COVID spikes. They pull out of the Liberty Bowl. In the little release that the university sent out, Philip Fulmer says, I think the Liberty Bowl is going to be a wonderful opportunity for our players and for Coach Pruitt and the returning players moving into spring. So that was kind of his way. I mean, it sure seems like his way of letting everybody know there's not going to be any kind of change. There was a lot to like about Tennessee coming into this season. I don't think any of us were putting them on the same level as Georgia or Bama or Florida. But where do you see that program right now? Because they lost a ton of momentum, as we know, in the last few months.
Well, I see it a lot better than maybe some of the naysayers because I think their talent level is so much better than what Jones left them. When they came in there, the cupboard was bare. The barn was – there weren't any horses much in the barn. And I think he certainly replenished that, and his coaching staff seems to be a little bit more stable, the guys he's got in there. You know, he just made a move with the offensive line coach. But I'm not really sure how to gauge it except, you know, very up-and-down quarterback play, not being able to sustain a lead, you know, being ahead at half and getting beat in the second half. But, you know, this year is such a up in the air with COVID and all that I think you got to just say, look, and Phillip is a football coach. He sees them practice. He knows. I just don't think you can make a change right now and start over. You got to give this guy another year to see what happens and see how they do, you know, when you got the full year to practice and all that other stuff. So, but I think their talent level is certainly better than anybody else in the East except the two teams that are up there, Florida and certainly Georgia. Maybe Kentucky might be closer, but you know, that game there was the one that just sent their team into a spiral there with all those interceptions that game. I thought we talked about it on our show that day, that'll be the one that makes one of the programs go up or one go down, and Tennessee went really down after that loss.
You're listening to the College Football Hall of Famer, Jim Donnan, our weekly fun brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. When we come back, we've got the Cotton Bowl, Peach Bowl, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl. We got a whole bunch of stuff to get into as far as these postseason matchups. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
This segment of Press Row has been brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, award-winning vehicles and courteous, honest service. Kia of Chattanooga. Former UGA head football coach and College Football Hall of Famer, Jim Donnan, is back on Press Row. Presented by Kia of Cleveland. Browse Kia's award-winning lineup of vehicles at kiaofcleveland.com.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105 on The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie in our weekly fun with the College Football Hall of Famer, Jim Donnan, brought to you by Kia of Cleveland, 2492 South Lee Highway, 423 693-0505. Go see John Davis, and he will help you out, whether it's a Cadenza, Optima, Stinger, Sedona, Telluride, Sorento. They have it all at Kia of Cleveland. All right, let's turn to the bowl matchups that we have. Of course, tonight, Florida, Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl. This game, Coach, opened with the Gators favored by 3. The Sooners now favored by 7 following opt-outs by Kyle Pitts, Kadarius Toney, Jacob Copeland, and Trayvon Grimes.
Yeah, it's up to 8 since the show started. They announced 2 more starters on defense out tonight, too. So I think 11-point switch on the way that thing. That somebody calling me right now is probably up to 10. So I'm kidding. I was just kidding there. But, seriously, Florida, what an impressive offensive performance they had against that Alabama defense, which yes. We said on our show last week, 2 weeks ago, that Alabama hadn't played any quarterback since they played against Georgia. So it's going to be interesting to see how they tried to defend Trask, and they just couldn't do it. But tonight, Oklahoma got a little bit easier job without those top 4 receivers. And then, Florida's defense is not that great. And then you take 3 starters out on top of that. It could be a track meet for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I question Florida's motivation after really, like you said, playing Alabama really close. And it's just kind of a weird deal where Florida goes out to Texas for a bowl. Texas A&M goes down to Florida for a bowl. Pretty strange. One team that doesn't have to worry about a lengthy trip is Georgia. But even that is weird in itself. I mean, how 2020 is it that Georgia will spend less than 24 hours in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Kirby about it, from the standpoint of the bowl trip, and there's just nothing he can do as far as going through the activity. So Georgia just went through a regular week of practice over here and then going over tomorrow and stay in a hotel, and it's just like a road trip, really. Georgia's going to be shorthanded, too. I mean, they're going to miss a lot of good players, particularly in the secondary with Stokes being as opted out and, the situation with LeCount, whether he'll be able to play or not. But Monty Rice out as a linebacker, and then Ben Cleveland at guard, not to mention Hill is going to be hurt with his knee. So they're going to have several starters out, and then Trey McKitty, the tight end, opted out. But I think this is a good chance for Georgia to show some of their depth. They're going against a Cincinnati team that's really a good football team, but the American Association Conference, or whatever you call it, has not looked good in the bowl games. They're 1-3. I think I'll be interested to see how Tulsa and Mississippi State turn out here tomorrow. That should give you an idea, because Tulsa went down to the wire with Cincinnati. But I look for Georgia to go out there and lay it on Cincinnati. I just feel good about it. Well, James Brown, I feel real good. I feel good about Georgia.
You got Jordan Davis back, which, I mean, the fact that he's playing, I think, helps out a bunch.
Well, he just gives you that force in the middle. But we're such a key-oriented team with our defense, with our nickel and everything. And if you take Stokes out there, you got to have to move somebody out. Webb's kind of dinged up. I don't know if he'll be able to play. But we got some good replacements, these guys will step up and play and play hard. The other thing that's happened today, a sad situation, James Cook's father passed away yesterday, and he's down there for in Miami with his brother and his mother. So going to miss out on James. It's 2 years in a row where he's missed the bowl. He got hurt last year, basically, but right before the Baylor game. But he's had a really good career, but just really hadn't gotten over the hump. And hopefully next year he will.
All right, the Rose Bowl is being played in Texas this year. Will there be any drama at the start of the third quarter with Alabama-Notre Dame?
I've always said this, Tiger Woods doesn't shoot a 68 every time, and Alabama has shot a 68 all year long. They're due for some things to happen to them badly as far as tip passes, bad calls, block punts. Something's got to happen for Notre Dame. The luck of the Irish, they got to bring Touchdown Jesus down there in a limo and get him going, because they're going to need a lot of help in this game. But Alabama's due for some things to happen, not be so hunky-dory. But you mentioned whether it's going to be a halftime game. I don't think that Notre Dame has got near the talent level that Alabama has, and they're going to have a hard time matching up and rushing the passer. Offensively, they don't show me that much, but they do have a quarterback that can move around good enough. That's the kind of guys that hurt this team. Alabama, you know, can't stop a mobile quarterback. You look at some of the guys that hurt them this year, Mond and the guy at Corral, and certainly last week, Trask is a good enough runner, but I think Alabama will beat them. I don't know if they'll cover the 20.
All right, and then, of course, the second semifinal has been the far more interesting one leading up to it. You've got Dabo, you know, just explaining why he did not have Ohio State in his top 10 due to the lack of number of games that they played. And then you've got Ryan Day at Ohio State talking about Venables and how he always seems to know what call is coming. So kind of a interesting way to frame that game. There's been a lot of buildup to it. How do you see the Sugar Bowl shaking out?
Well, what happens is these teams study each other. They try to get their signals. I mean, that's been notorious since Caesar went over to Rubicon. People been trying to do stuff like that. You know what I mean? People try to steal signals, but I don't think you can, you know, there's ways to work on it. You know, you can put wristbands on your players and call your signals like that. But I think a real key element that's found out today is Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator for Clemson, has tested positive for COVID, and he's not even going to be at the trip. So he's the guy that's been calling the plays there for a long time and done a really good job. They probably let the quarterback coach call him, who, you know, has got good relationship with Trevor Lawrence and good feel for it. He's a very established guy, but that's certainly going to be a little bit different there without your coordinator. So, but to me right now, this Clemson team, right now, I say they're the only team in America outside of pro team that can beat Alabama, because they've got the big-time quarterback, big-time running back, and their defense is good enough to stay in the game. So I look for them to get after Ohio State in this game.
All right, and that leads me to the final question. If it is Alabama and Clemson, is this good for the sport that you have these two teams that are just this dominant? I know LSU won it last year, but it's been a whole lot of Alabama-Clemson in this thing.
Well, I don't know if it's good or bad. It's just the way the system we had it. But, you know, we used to have the Celtics and the Lakers and Packers playing every year. You know, but Vince Lombardi, they say this is a dynasty. They keep using the dynasty word. But it's been good because not the same team wins it every year. But certainly it's very much the in vogue that both of these teams recruit very well and do a good job of developing their players and keep them in school. And but, you know, I don't know if anything's bad about winning, but we got to find some way. I'd like to see an 18 playoff to get some of these other teams in there. And the one thing that you got to give Alabama credit for, and you know it and Wells knows it, when you can go through the SEC and play almost every team in the league and go 11-0, nobody's ever had to do that before because of COVID situation. That's pretty impressive.
See, I'm not with you on the expanded playoff. I just don't want to add more teams that'll get their snot kicked by Alabama and Clemson in a quarterfinal instead of a semifinal.
Well, maybe they wouldn't, but maybe a couple of them might beat somebody else. So, I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's what happens in the NCAA tournament. People do that. But I just think there's too many good teams out there that need the chance. It shouldn't be all based on going undefeated or only losing one game. You know what I mean? I mean, Georgia right now can play with a lot of teams. I mean, they had a situation where they played a couple games without their wide receiver and, you know, didn't play good enough, and then you're out. But I'd like to see eight in there. I was involved in the 1AA playoffs, and, you know, we had eight. And it was good. And then we had 16, which I thought was too many. But I think it's good to put more teams in the playoffs. But that's why you from Auburn and I'm from NC State.
Well, what about an Alabama-Georgia SEC title game? If one of them's number one and one of them's number three, it really won't matter who wins in an eight-team tournament. They're both getting in.
Well, that's okay. I mean, that's what happens in the ACC tournament basketball. They don't take – just because you lose in the championship game doesn't mean you don't get to go to the tournament. But, you know, what I'd like to see is one less game during the regular season and expand it to eight teams. I mean, that way you wouldn't be playing that many games. But that's not going to happen. You know, I'm 75. It's not going to happen in my lifetime.
Well, Coach, great stuff as always. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful new year, and we always appreciate what you do for us. We appreciate Kia of Chattanooga. We appreciate Kia of Cleveland. It is always fun to have their support and talk college football with the College Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I want to just say thanks to you and Wells, and also Kia of Chattanooga and Cleveland for another, I think, seventh year here. Hopefully we can have another one next year, and Happy New Year to everybody, and hopefully we get this COVID behind us, and you guys keep up the good work up there.
Amen. Coach, thank you. Have a wonderful new year. Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, always great to have on. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
This segment of Press Row has been made possible by Kia of Cleveland, where they can help with any automotive needs you may have. 2492 South Lee Highway, Kia of Cleveland.
From the Mermaid Mattress Traffic Center, better mattress, better price, better sleep, better life. Police on the scene, I-24 East and Interstate